Bless you. Thank you, Brother Wayne. It's good to be back in Forestell, Missouri. Somebody asked me, said, where are you going to be next week? I said, I'm going to be in misery all week long. Not really. It's not misery here when you're at this church. Not at all. I enjoy it. I enjoy Jerry and Shirley stopping by sometime on their way south, down that way. We enjoy good fellowship with them. And of course, always enjoy good food and fellowship here. Had a good supper. Y'all eat supper, don't you? Eat supper. This is a southern bread bunch. I'm telling you. Got a lot of Arkansas roots and things like that. And that's good. There's no doubt about that. Had a good meal at the Alls, and I appreciate that. I certainly do. I want to told you about something that happened, because some folk are concerned about my friend named Boudreaux. Now, Boudreaux, from down in the Cajun country, grew up down there on that coastline. And them Cajuns, they worked them shrimps boats. And Boudreaux, he's got him one of them bicycles. And he was riding that bicycle along, and this big old German Shepherd type dog. Y'all know what I'm talking about now? This big old German Shepherd type dog. Now, I don't know if he is all the way German Shepherd, but he's type of one. Anyway, he done jumped over that fence and came up and bit Boudreaux, I mean, right in the leg. I mean, bit the fire. Y'all know what it means to bite the fire out of him? Well, he done bit the fire out of him. Boudreaux went to Dr. Ladnier, local doctor. He said, Dr. Ladnier, he said, I was pedaling my bicycle, and this dog come jumped over the fence, bit me right in the leg. Dr. Ladnier said, did you put anything on it? Boudreaux said, no, he liked it just like it was. I didn't have to put it. Didn't need no mustard, no ketchup, nothing like that. He liked it just like it was. I told you that right there. That boy, he's always in a mess, isn't he? He's been in a mess how many years now? A long time, Brother Collins. A long, long time. That boy's been in a mess down there on that coast. All right, take your Bibles tonight. Turn with us to the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse number 18. James chapter 1 and verse 18. I want to read three verses here. James chapter 1, verses 18, 19, and 20. James chapter 1 and verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now look once again at verse number 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. What is James saying there in verse 18 with those words, of his own will begat he us? What is the undercurrent there? What's the subject there? What are we looking at here? I believe that James is clearly, plainly speaking of the doctrine of regeneration. To be begotten of God, to be born of God. Now, Baptists believe in a regenerate church membership. We believe that you're not even a subject for baptism until you have been what? Born again. There has to have been a work of regeneration. There has to have been a work of the Spirit of God. By His own will, of His own will, begat He us. And how does He do it? With the Word of truth. Now, without regeneration, nobody can get to heaven. Do you believe that? Without the work of regeneration, nobody can go to heaven. There must be this wonderful work of regeneration. Now, how important is it? Ephesians 2 and verse 1 says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. How dead is dead? Down where I come from, we say graveyard dead. And that's how dead this verse is talking about spiritually. Ephesians 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." To be quickened by God is to be made alive. So, to be quickened means that we were dead. To be quickened means that we could not see. To be quickened means we could not hear. To be quickened means we had no interest in these things of God. And because the lost man is dead in trespasses and sins, completely dead spiritually, then there must be a new birth. There has to be a work of regeneration. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom." He cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I know that when we read that and think about that, we're thinking about, well, he can't get to heaven. He can't see heaven. But let me say, without the birth that comes from above, without the new birth, you can't see the things of the kingdom. You can't understand them. So there has to be this work of regeneration. There has to be this work of God in the heart. And there are those today who want to make salvation the work of man, not the work of God. And they get the cart before the horse. They say, if you'll say this prayer, then you'll be born again. No, no. You're not saying anything till you've been regenerated. There has to be a work that allows you to see and believe and to know. You can't have a work of man resulting in salvation. It has to be the work of God. The work of God. God must move. God must work. And this work is that wonderful work of regeneration. That's why Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Then John chapter 3 and verse number 8, we find in John 3 and verse 8 that regeneration is a manifestation. And it's a wonderful manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit. John 3 and verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." In other words, it blows where it pleases. It just blows. "And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." That's how it works. We don't understand it. The wind is like electricity. You don't actually see electricity. You see the results of electricity. You don't see the wind, but you see the results of the wind. Like your hat blowing off and having to chase it down the road. Or limbs blown down, or leaves blowing, and things like that. So we don't understand, we don't know all about that, but we believe it. We believe God must work, and He does work through the Holy Spirit. And when we understand this wonderful doctrine of regeneration, we know that man cannot be saved by good works. I grew up in the Organized Church of Latter-day Saints of the Latter Days. That's a mouthful. But the Organized Church of Latter Days, or Latter-day Saints of Latter Days, is Josephite Mormon, headquarters just down the road here, Independence, Missouri. But I was taught growing up that if your good outweighed your bad, you'd go up as far as the seventh heaven. But if you're bad, the good, you could get down there pretty low. Matter of fact, it gets hot down to that lower place. And that's what I was taught growing up. And then I heard an old-fashioned gospel preacher who preached, "You must be born again." Who preached that salvation is of the Lord. Who preached that it's not of works. A lot of times folks will quote Titus 3 and verse 5 and just quote the first part of it, but I like that whole verse. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So there is that work that God only can do. Man cannot do that. It's an impossibility for man to do that. Now I know there are many or several different declarations of faith that Baptists have adopted through the years. And I was reading the other day the New Hampshire Declaration, and I like what it says on regeneration here. Article 7 says, and this is on the doctrine of regeneration. Now listen closely. And this is what Baptists believe. We believe that in order to be saved, sinners must be regenerated or born again. That regeneration consists in giving a holy disposition to the mind. And that has something to do with repentance. You see? That it is effected in a manner above our comprehension. We don't understand it. By the power of the Holy Spirit in connection with divine truth, that separates us from the hard shell, so as to secure our voluntary obedience to the gospel, where we voluntarily believe the truth. We voluntarily believe Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. When we do that, we do it because there has been a work that has taken place. And that its proper evidence appears in the holy fruits of repentance and faith and newness of life. Some terminology that I do not hear in these modern times is that repentance and faith are inseparable graces. You don't hear that anymore. But the truth is, repentance and faith are inseparable graces. There are those who want to put repentance in one place and then you'll get faith if you repent enough. No, they are inseparable. Inseparable graces. Of His own will begat He us. My good friend, Pastor Bill Brown, out in Carmichael, California, says this: nothing in man causes God to give him eternal life. He does it freely of His own will. God does that freely of His own will. That's God's business. It's God's work. Of His own will. Of His own will begat He us. That's what James says. And that's what the Bible teaches. Of His own will begat He us. Through the fall, listen, through the fall, and I'm talking about Adam, through the fall, man lost his ability. Through the fall, man lost his ability to come to God. He lost his ability to do that which is spiritually good. And without the intervention of God, man is eternally lost and goes to hell. John Gill said that man in his state of innocence had both a power and a will to do that which was naturally and morally good in his state of innocence before the fall. Though his will was left mutable. Immutability means unchangeable. I believe in the immutability of Christ. But I believe that man is mutable. And he was mutable then. Though he was left mutable. And so through temptation might be inclined to evil, at which door came in the sin and fall of man. Man in his fallen state is wholly under the power and dominion of sin and is captive under it and a slave unto it and has neither a power nor will to do that which is spiritually good. Now, I wish I had time to get into the things that man can do. There are some things that man can will to do. But he cannot will that which is spiritually good. Man in a state of regeneration, that work of God, man in a state of regeneration is freed from the dominion of sin, though not from the being of it. His will is sweetly and powerfully wrought upon and inclined to that which is spiritually good. Though he finds a body of sin and death about him which much distresses and hinders him in the performance of it. And I believe Dr. Gill was right on target We have been freed, but we sure are hindered. Amen? Because there's that body of sin about us that just gives us fits. We have that old nature. We do have, at least I do, maybe y'all have reached above that, I don't know. But I have an old nature, Kevin, I do. I fight with that thing. I have to kick around with that. But I know this, there's a part of me that does not sin. There's a part of me that has been renewed and a part of me that is holy of God. And gives me a disposition. Amen? Let me get that word right. Disposition toward the things of God. Now, I want you to notice something. John 1 and verse 13. Let's notice that verse. John 1 and verse number 13. John 1 and verse 13. I believe this verse makes plain the truth that we're studying, and that truth of regeneration, work of the Spirit of God. Those who receive the Lord, and I don't want to get into a discussion of accepting the Lord and receiving the Lord. We receive the Lord. Amen. Those who receive Him do so because they have been enabled of God. They've been enabled to do so through the Holy Spirit. It's not of man. Now, John 1 and verse 13 says, well, let's read verse 12. And maybe we will settle a little bit of our theological discussion here. In John 1, 12, but as many as received Him. Is that all right? All right. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Even to them that believe on His name. If you'll just believe in what Christ did for you and believe that Christ is the Savior who died for sinners, was buried, and rose again, if you'll just do that, will you be saved? Which were born. Born? Why did they have to be born? Well, they were dead. And so they had to be given life. And that regeneration is called new birth. And that's being born. Which were born not of blood. That means not of heredity. Now, I can go way back on my family tree. I can get them back down there coming ashore in Biloxi in 1719, Jerry. I can get them coming ashore on a ship called La Philippe. French soldiers. Jean-Baptiste Fayard de la Lancette. That's my great-great-great-great-papaw. Okay? And he came on shore. Right there. Married Angelique Ladnier. Married Angelique. But I tell you something, friends. I'm not saved because of a bloodline. It's not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. You see, the natural man, he's in opposition to the things of God. It's not the will of the flesh. You can find out that we need to pray that peradventure God will grant, you know, repentance and faith. Because it's not the will of the flesh. Flesh is against this, nor of the will of man. Listen, if I could will people to be saved, I'd be willing them all the time. When I was in the Mormon church, you know, so-called baptized for the dead. And that's to get people in, is what that is. Well, that doesn't do a bit of good except get some folks who ought not be wet, wet. That's all that does. But how are we born? But of God. And that takes us back to James 1:18. Of His own will begat He us. It's of God. It is a work of God. It's the moving of God. It's what God does for us. Psalm 110 verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And I don't believe anybody comes to Christ unwillingly. But you're not coming until He makes you willing. He has to deal with your will. He has to deal with you. And He does. That's an individual thing. That's why salvation's personal. Amen.
It's a personal thing. It's personal. Jesus says in John 15:16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." So it is truly by grace that we're saved. Saved by grace. It's all of grace. Now, I do believe God uses means. Somebody said, "Well, I'll tell you what, nobody was involved but God when I got saved." Well, I can't say that because there was a preacher who was involved when I was saved. There was someone who brought the gospel to me and continued to witness to me and continued to show me the truth. So there is the work that is involved, which is means. But God does the saving. God does the saving. What a glorious, glorious, glorious work God does. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and begin at verse 4, which I believe is a good place to begin. Ephesians 1 and verse number 4. And in what we're going to see here, we find that it's according to His good pleasure. Now, there are those who do not want to read this chapter nor discuss this chapter, but it causes my heart to rejoice. If you know the Lord, you rejoice in the truth of the Word of God. And Ephesians 1:4 says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." Now, He did that. I was saved in time, but He chose me in eternity. Comma, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. When you say, why did you say comma there? Because I've had those who said that what He chose us to was to be holy and without blame before. No. He chose us unto salvation. That's what He did. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of whose will? His will. That's His plan. That's His work. To the praise of the glory of whose grace? His grace. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood. We're accepted in Christ. Amen? In the beloved. In whom, in the beloved, we have redemption through His blood. So there has to be the shedding of blood. For we find here, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Grace, of course, we know is getting what you don't deserve. That's what grace is. It's getting what you don't deserve. You don't deserve heaven. You deserve hell. And then, verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us. Who opened your eyes? Who opened your ears? Who opened your heart? He let you see it, amen? He opened that up to you. I was preaching last night about Lydia, seller of purple. I love that passage. Whose heart the Lord opened. It kind of bothers me when people say, open the door of your heart. You don't have the power to open the door to your heart. God has to open the door to your heart. He has to do that. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. Whose pleasure? His good pleasure. We've got too many who are trying to make it man's program and man's will. And I even hear them say, I will that you be saved. Or I will that you... No, and I command God. Don't you command God to do anything. That's scary. And I like this last part of verse 9. According to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. You say, why are you so excited about this? Because, friends, I was in the Wrong Eye Church of Latter-day Saints of Latter Days. I was headed to hell. I never thought I'd ever see this. I never thought I'd ever read this. It was the furthest thing from me. But what happened? God sent an old-fashioned preacher man.
Right.
Baptist preacher. With the gospel. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in our own earth, even in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance. Isn't that wonderful? We've got an inheritance. Where I grew up, down on the coast, they used to say this, Brother Cecil. They would say, when my rich uncle in the poorhouse dies.
Yeah.
Y'all ever heard that?
Yeah.
Whew! Ain't much inheritance in that. He might have had one of them little King Edward cigar cans or something with some change in it, you know, or a little tobacco. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Little King Edward. Now, some of you don't. These youngsters, and you don't need to. You don't need to know nothing about King Edward. Amen. But y'all know that they used to keep that little can, used to keep money in that can. That's what they did. Kept a little change in. Here we have an inheritance in Christ. And then it says, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of what? His own will. Of His own will begat He us. I want to just go back there over and over again to emphasize the fact that it's of the will of God that you're here tonight. It's of the will of God that we have a Bible that we are able to look into and understand and read and rejoice in.
Amen.
Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. To the praise of His glory, not my glory. They used to sing a song down in Arkansas. I heard them singing it around there in some of those churches, not Baptist churches, but I heard them singing it around Arkansas. If anybody gets to heaven, Lord, surely I will. Uh-huh. And then they'd go on praying and giving and all that, you know, count for anything. Well, they don't. And if surely, if that's what you're counting in, surely you're going to hell. That's sad to say. Not trusting in what man does. And then verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation. Dear friends, not only is it according to His will, as we've read over and over, but it's through the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. By His own will begat He us with the word of truth. With the word of truth. And what is the truth? Well, we read about it in Ephesians 1, verse 13. What's the word of truth that's being spoken of here? I believe it's the gospel. I don't believe anybody can be saved without hearing the gospel. They have got to hear about Christ. Crucified, buried. Rose again. That's right. Don't leave him in the grave. Don't hang him up on a cross and stick him on a hospital wall. Amen. He's not on a cross. And he's not in a grave. He's alive. He is alive. I'm going to go back to 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. 1 Peter 1, verses 2 and 3, where we see that the gospel is not just that He died. And we hear a lot of preaching about His death. But I believe it's important we get Him up out of the grave. Amen? And don't just do that once a year. Okay? Do that week after week. Make a beeline to the cross and then get Him off the cross and get Him up out of the grave. Amen. 1 Peter 1, verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit separates you unto salvation. You believe that?
Yes.
Holy Spirit does that. He separates you unto salvation. You say, preacher, I want to be saved. I believe if you want to, you can be. If there's a want to there, you can be. Because of the working that God has put there. Amen? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Now, we're not going to stop and parse this verse out, but friends, you've got the work of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in that verse in salvation, and I love that. Well, I want us to head right down into verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath done what? Begotten us. Of His own will begat He us. According to His abundant mercy hath begotten us. Again. We needed to be begotten again. Amen. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Our federal head had fallen. We needed to be begotten again. Needed to happen. Unto a lively hope by what? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's so important. The resurrection of Jesus. And that same power that resurrected Christ from the grave is the power that resurrected you from the dead. Same power. You go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and it tells us about that. Tells us about how that same power that worked in bringing Christ up from the grave is the same power that brought you up from your dead estate. Gave you life. By His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. I believe it's the Word of truth that's so important to us. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth is going to do what for you? Set you free. So you hear the truth, you know the truth. And for the sinner, he must hear the truth of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He must hear that truth. We mentioned Ephesians 1 verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. I told our folk last night, I said, some people believe all the Bible's the gospel. This whole book's the gospel. But it's not. Because you see, gospel means good news. It means glad tidings. The rich man in hell lift up his eyes being in torment. Is that good news? That's bad news. That's bad news. There's a lot of bad news in here, but I'll tell you what, there's good news in here. And that good news is that Christ died for sinners. He died that men might live. And He's alive. And because He's alive, we too have life everlasting. You see, that's good news. So we preach the gospel and the words that Jesus speaks. Those words are life. Look with me at John 6, verse 63. John 6, verse number 63. There needs to be a quickening, amen? Giving of life, being made alive. And the Bible says, and Jesus is speaking, and John 6, 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. And then He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And that's why every word of God is important. That we preach the book. We preach the Bible. Then John 5, verses 24 and 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, John 5, 24 and 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, I believe in the security of the believer, but is passed from death unto life. Why did he have to pass from death unto life? Because he was dead in trespasses and sins. He had to be begotten of God. He had to be made alive. That's the work of regeneration that had to take place. And then verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and I like this, and now is. And now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Some say, well, that's whenever He died and there were those who came up and that. No, I believe, talking about those who hear the gospel, who hear the Word of God, they're dead in trespasses and sin, and they are alive by the Spirit when He quickens their very being, according to the Scriptures. Now, friends, you and I have the hope of the world right here. We have the only hope, and that's this Word of truth. And we need to spread the Word of truth. And you know, you and I are kind of, as it goes on to say there in James 1:18, we're a kind of first fruits. That's what it says. We're a kind of first fruits. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Now the Jews, they always were very careful to give an offering of the first fruits. They were careful to do that. And there is the principle of the first fruits. And you know what that principle is? It's a principle of ownership. And by giving of the first fruits, it said God owns it all. It belongs to Him. We give it to Him. It's His. And friends, you and I are bought with a price. And we are to understand who our owner is. And we're to understand that it's all because of grace and all because of God. And we give of ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Now, friend, if you will tonight believe in what Christ has done for sinners, if you will believe in what Jesus did for sinners, then you can be saved. You will be saved. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. Trust in Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Bless you, Brother Wayne.